Let us not focus on what stands between us, but what stands before us. These are the hopeful words of the young poet this week on Wednesday, Amanda Gorman. And I've been thinking a lot about the road before us. This year, 2021, again, I'm thinking so much about what lies ahead. And I find myself again and again thinking about the grand sort of rebuilding effort that it will be in so many aspects of our lives, the great task that lies before us. And so I found myself drawn this week to this image in the reading of the gospel of the disciples mending their nets. Again, I found myself drawn to the image of the disciples mending their nets. Because I sense on so many levels this year of sort of 2021 will be a year of a lot of mending. On a personal level, last year at this time, I was playing basketball at the rec center, probably 2 days a week, often against even other men in the church. And I was even by this point starting to develop a mid-range jumper. I was going places, folks. I was going places. But obviously that changed. And, I'm eager, though. I'm eager to sort of lace up my high tops and get out there and get down in the post with other people. So again, that's, I think, one of the many aspects of my own life that I'm looking to sort of mend and return and restore. I think also this, just in terms of vacation, my father this week emailed our family about some summer options, right? It's that time of year to maybe start doing some planning. And I am so looking forward to a family vacation where we don't sort of have to have a long contractual negotiation ahead of time about what the rules of engagement this time are, right? I'm looking so forward to that. Again, this act of mending in 2021, of restoring something to health and vitality. I think about it likewise at the church. I'm pretty confident that in a few months we'll have more than a few dozen people in the sanctuary at both services, right? That, again, things are going to be mended and restored. Now, there's an especial level to this, too, because Jesus is talking about the disciples mending their nets and becoming fishers of people. And I believe right now there is an awesome and abundant harvest that the church is called to, that we even at St. Paul are called to be mending our nets. I know that we are at work as leaders in the church, again, trying to strengthen the church right now. There's estimates when churches are talking that fully a 30% of people will not come back to church after the pandemic, that just habits have changed and so many other things will have happened. At the same time, how many of you know somebody who's really struggling with life right now, right? We all do. And I won't even ask you how many of you are struggling with life right now, right? So we have this titanic, sort of this iceberg underneath of grief and discontent and unrest. There's so much hunger right now for the good news of Jesus Christ. And so again, I feel it, and I know the other leaders of the church, we're frantically trying to mend these nets because we know there's so much work right now for the gospel that needs to be done. There's also, after the last year, I think there's, without saying that there's so much sort of torn apart in our society, politically, racially, class-wise. And so I think we hunger for a season of restoring and mending some things that were torn apart this year, some healing. So I think whether it's a personal or a church or national or your businesses, I think all of us are embracing this year, have a sense we're even called to the task of mending the nets, of fixing what was lost, of restoring what we had held dear, yet at the same time getting ready for a new harvest of new challenges and opportunities that God is putting before us. So again, I found myself drawn, and I find myself very much right now in a season of mending nets here professionally and personally, and I think many of you are as well. However, as it turns out, Jesus calls the disciples away from mending their nets. In fact, they drop their nets that they're mending, and they go and follow Jesus. And this isn't simply they're going to break in their task, but there's something more fundamental here. Jesus is calling them to prioritize Jesus above the things that most men hold dear, their livelihood and the reputation of their family and their father. Jesus is asking for an ultimate claim on loyalty to be the top priority in their life. So what might this say to us who are busy in a year of mending the nets that Jesus calls his disciples away from this task? Well, what I'd like to suggest is that it's very easy for us in life. It is very easy for us in life to be so focused on doing good that we lose sight of God. Again, it's so easy for us in life to be so focused on whatever we're doing, and we start out with noble aims, professionally or personally. We're just grinding away. We're getting it done. We're getting the tasks done. We're just moving ahead, that we lose sight of Christ, and we forget whose kingdom we're working for anyway. We all know that there's sort of apparently muhaha bad guys in life, but so often for us, it's even when we're trying to do good that we lose our way and end up in a time of being self-righteous, of being angry, of being disappointed, of being frustrated and hurt. Just give an easy example of this. Yesterday, I was at one of my daughter's basketball games, and there was another court just a little bit away, and although I was very focused on my daughter's game, I heard this yelling. And so I look over, and this coach is barreling into this 12-year-old girl. I mean, just right. And the egregious sin against humanity that this young girl had committed was that she hadn't covered the right person on an inbounds play. You know, something that the whole fate of the world depends on, right? And then I was like, man, this guy's really laying into her. And then I realized it was his daughter. Now, there are all moments as parents we're not proud of. And there are plenty of times when, as a coach or a fan, we get a little bit too into it. Okay? But I'm willing to wager a fair amount of money that that coach didn't sign up a few months back to be a coach so that he could ream out his child about inbounding passes. Right? The person signed up to be the coach because they wanted to help their community. They wanted to pass on skills to their child. They wanted to give kids a chance to grow and experience what it means to be a team, to overcome obstacles, right? This is why they did it. But here they were reaming their kid out in front of a bunch of other people over something that was entirely inconsequential. Again, it is so easy for us in life, even when we set out with noble aims on a personal or professional level, to just get caught up and to suddenly find ourselves doing things that we would be embarrassed by. There is another way, though. There is another way. Jesus calls his disciples. He calls his disciples, and as it turns out, when they follow him, they will still actually be using their boats, and they will still fish the rest of the Gospels. What has happened, though, is not so much what they're doing, but who they're doing it for and how they're doing it. Again, what changes for the disciples is that in this call and in this summons to follow, that suddenly and throughout their lives now they're going to say, no, it's not just about the fish. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so when we are rebuilding our lives and mending our nets, which is the call that we have in 2021, I think there is a challenge for us today to always keep Christ as the priority and to not get so caught up in getting a vaccine, planning a vacation, doing all the things we've been waiting for 18 months to do, that we forget that it's not about that stuff. It's fundamentally about Jesus. And Jesus today proclaims the good news, and that is that the kingdom of God has come near. And what that means is that in spite of all of our efforts, the true kingdom has come because Jesus has lived, died, resurrected, and will come again. And so we don't have to fool ourselves thinking that the entire kingdom depends on us. And that can free us And that can free us to let go of control, to let go of the results, and instead focus on the relationship with Jesus and the integrity with which we live as a disciple. Again, knowing that the kingdom of God has come near allows us to let go of control, let go of the results, and instead focus on the relationship with Jesus and the integrity with which we live as a disciple. And I want to bring that home here. This is obviously the basketball sermon because I watched a lot of basketball yesterday. And actually, you're hearing a different sermon because I couldn't do the example that I'm going to give at the earlier service. Okay? And I want to talk about another coach, and that is Dave Aldhaus. Many of you may know Dave. He coached Warwick basketball for a number of years, and if you go over to the high school, there's lots of letters for the years that he was the coach. And it's hard to get Dave to talk about this, and good luck. If you can get Dave to talk about it, good luck. So I'm going to share his story. Anyway, he won all sorts of titles. He's got these incredible winning percentage. But really, it was clear that for Dave, it actually wasn't about winning. It really was about molding kids and giving them some fundamental tools for life. And of course, you know, every coach kind of would say, well, it's not about, you know, every coach would say that, okay? But 2 years ago, a man in our church was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And it turned out that it was one of the people that Dave had coached. And so there I was in the hospital room with this man who, again, is going to die. And who is there but Dave Aldhaus? Why is Dave there 35 years after this person played for Dave? Because they won a title? No. Because for Dave, it was about this relationship. It was about helping kids. It's really easy for us in life to start with noble aims and get lost. Yet we know that what we really want is to put Christ first. And so Jesus today issues a call of repentance, an ongoing process in our lives that we need week after week, if not day after day, to come again, to come to worship, to come to the waters of baptism, and to acknowledge in subtle and large ways in which we've replaced the kingdom of God for our own kingdom, and to again commit ourselves to reorient and say, no, Christ, this is your kingdom, which is given as a gift to me. And so this Sunday, hear the call to repent, to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, whose kingdom are we working for? And then to hear the good news that in spite of our efforts, Christ has come to forgive us, and once again, to lay a foundation that we build on. Amen.